Chapter 56. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Temple of the Way. Raoul, having defeated the army of silkweavers, virtually unassisted, sat and watched as the humans floundered about in the wake of the battle. Little Mouse, who was by far the most important human present, helped Human Folly to her feet and spoke to her in a low, worried tone. That was ridiculous, of course. Human Folly could stand and could speak, and so the odd girl was obviously well enough. Human Folly looked rather frantic for a moment, until Little Mouse placed several small lumen crystals into the other girl's hands, at which point the etherealist's apprentice cupped them as if they were more precious than kittens. Grim Shiptrees was visiting his fallen and wounded warriors. Raoul approved of that. Even now, Norn was making the rounds of the wounded and fallen Nine-Claws warriors. The clan chief finished the task and prowled over to Raoul, his bloodied battle spurs clicking on the ground.
"Raoul?"
"Norn?"
"You slew as many as I did,"
Norn noted.
"Did I?"
Raoul asked airily.
"I was not keeping track."
Norn's tail lashed in amusement.
"The threat to my clan is gone. You were instrumental in making that happen."
"You are welcome,"
Raoul said. Norn stared silently for a moment, then he said,
"You spared the life of my kit when you had more than sufficient reason to kill him."
"I did."
"Why?"
"Out of respect,"
Raoul replied.
He lifted his right rear leg and peered at the bloodied blade on it.
"His battle spurs are excellent."
"Hardly used,"
Norn growled.
"Keep them." "Neen will not like that,"
Raoul noted.
"Neen will earn his spurs again. Perhaps this time something will sink in."
"I wish you luck with that,"
Raoul said.
"If you will excuse me, the spurs chafe."
Norn flicked an ear in farewell.
"Convey to your father my respects. His envoy is welcome in Nine-Claws territory."
"I will,"
Raoul replied. Norn rose without further remark and departed. Raoul turned back to watching Grim Shiptrees, and noted that the man was in the midst of detailing a few of his healthy warriors to help the human healer take the wounded to something more like safety. If he could smell the distant smoke in the air like Raoul could, he would be moving more quickly. But that was the way of humans. Like their minds, their senses were not particularly sharp. And if that wasn't bad enough, they spent an inordinate amount of time ignoring them or dulling them even further with their drink and their alleged music and their soap. So, no matter that they were standing in the only Habel in all of Spire Albion filled with flammable buildings, and that the entire place might turn into a gigantic oven and cook them all, there were human matters to fuss with before moving out to take action. Years of living near humans had taught Raoul that there was no point in trying to hurry them, and had made him even more patient than he was puissant. They would be ready when they were ready. Meanwhile, he prowled over to Little Mouse, made himself comfortable, and started working on the laces of his new battle spurs. Knots were uncivilized creations. His thumb paw was really not well suited to undoing the length of leather cord that kept the cuffs securely on his legs, which was why a pair of squires was generally required to secure the cuffs in the first place.
"Raoul," Little Mouse asked, in cat, "would you please allow me to assist you?"
"Yes,"
Raoul said promptly, and lay down to relax while Little Mouse saw to the knots with her indecently long and precise fingers. Each creature had something it excelled at, he supposed. Humans could manage knots easily, and cats could do everything else. Little Mouse undid the knots and carefully slid the wide leather cuffs off of his legs. Raoul did nothing as undignified as sigh with relief once the tight, restricting things were gone, but a lesser cat than he might have done so. He felt quite filthy. The foolish silkweavers had not drenched him in their vital fluids as they had some of the slower warriors of Norn's clan, but his fur was certainly speckled with the stuff, and it smelled. Raoul yawned and regained his feet before butting his head against Little Mouse's knee. Little Mouse knelt down to rub the spot behind his ears, which he allowed might also be a particular expertise of human-style fingers.
"You were so brave just now, Raoul," Little Mouse said. Her voice was very soft and warm. "You saved us."
It would have been unseemly to wriggle with pleasure at her tone, so Raoul restrained himself to rising and arching his back under her hand, so that it went all the way down his body and possibly wiped off some of the filth.
"I know," he said.
"How did you convince the Nine Claws to help?" Little Mouse asked.
"I saved their clan chief's kit."
"From what?"
"From me," Raoul said.
He stretched and flicked his rear legs one at a time until he felt that the fur was somewhat less disarranged.
"I would knock down a spire for you, Little Mouse."
Little Mouse made a squeaking sound and scooped him up in her clumsy human arms and gave him a smothering hug. Raoul leaned his cheek against hers and purred. After all, he could hardly be called unseemly if a human, even so exceptional a human as Little Mouse, got carried away in a fit of affection. And besides, her sleeves were cleaning his fur. The moment lasted until the tall younger warrior beside Grim Ship Trees called, "Everyone else form up on me! Let's go!" And at last, only a nap or two after the last fight had ended, they finally began to move. The smell of smoke grew stronger and stronger as the humans huffed and puffed down the cramped streets of Habel Landing. Raoul loped along beside them, amused. Of the entire group, only his Little Mouse was moving steadily, clumping along in the same boots she wore while running with the guard. Evidently all that senseless fleeing about had done its work to prepare her for this evening. She was moving very well compared to everyone else in the little group. Not as well as a cat, of course, that was simply not possible, but better than the other humans, even the half-soul. Raoul looked at human Benedict curiously. He had always seemed markedly less clumsy than other humans to Raoul, but that had all but vanished. His legs were moving unevenly, and he was gasping for air just like the rest of them. He must have been weary. Though weary or not, he had wits enough about him to lift his nose to the air and inhale, finally noticing the smoke scent that had been obvious to Raoul since before they had begun their run. Raoul heard something and focused on the sound.
"Little Mouse," he called. "Gauntlet fire ahead."
Little Mouse dutifully relayed the message, or tried to. The first man she told to pass it up the line to the captain was wheezing too hard to make himself understood by his fellow humans. Little Mouse shook her head, picked up her pace, and ran ahead to Grim Ship Trees to inform him. The humans spread out as they approached the temple and slowed their pace to a more cautious stalk. If one could even truly consider it a stalk. To Raoul, they sounded like the clump and clutter of a steam engine, except for Little Mouse, who, to her credit, sounded only as loud as a particularly clumsy lame kitten. Raoul had no such concerns. He would be seen only if he wished to be seen. He darted ahead. There was a great deal of smoke billowing out of the Temple of the Way, probably due to all the fire he could see glowing within it. A number of humans had apparently tried to form a line, where they would have presumably passed buckets of water along to one another, so that whichever human was most foolish could throw it at the fire. Metal buckets lay scattered everywhere, along with several corpses of the humans who had attempted to use them. As Raoul watched, a human leaned out of the shelter of the wall around the temple, appearing in the gateway, and loosed a gauntlet blast, burning a blazing trail of tiny cinders through the pall of smoke. He quickly ducked back, just as several other blasts hammered against the stone of the wall near him, sending chips of rock flying. The humans of Landing, it would seem, were not taking the killing of their own lightly. Raoul broke into a sprint, covering the open ground between the rest of the Habel and the temple's territory at his best speed. From there, finding a convenient stone projecting slightly from the wall made it possible for Raoul to jump to the top and take stock of the situation. There were half a dozen humans inside the temple's wall, all of them armed, all of them positioned to pop up from concealment and fire gauntlets at anyone who approached. Raoul took note of their positions and leapt lightly from the wall, rushing back to Little Mouse. He told her in rapid tones what he had seen, and Little Mouse relayed his words to Grim Shiptrees as the group approached the temple. Shiptrees nodded once, his expression hard.
"Why burn a temple of the way?" Human Creedy asked. "I don't understand." "Why burn a library?" Little Mouse answered. "There must have been something of value in it, something that would prompt the Aurorans to make sure that it all burned by leaving men behind to ambush the Bucket Brigade."
"If they aren't letting anyone in," Human Benedict said, "they aren't letting anyone out either."
"They aren't going to get away with it," Shiptrees said in a very quiet voice. "Long guns, I believe, Mr. Creedy. We've an extra with Mr. Stern down. Can you use it?"
"Tolerably well, sir,"
Human Creedy responded.
"And then you and the others will provide covering fire while I lead the charge."
Shiptrees glanced around.
"Sir Benedict, I would appreciate your aid in this entry."
"Of course, Captain Grimm,"
Human Benedict said.
"Mr. Kettle, you're with me,"
Shiptrees said.
Then he turned to Little Mouse.
"Miss Targwyn, if you are willing, you will accompany Sir Benedict."
Little Mouse swallowed but nodded firmly. "I will."
The captain turned to the rest of his warriors and said,
"The rest in two columns, following us. Get through the gate and blast any hostile targets you see. If the man in front of you falls, keep moving and take the shooter before his gauntlet can cycle." "Mr. Raoul," Shiptrees said, turning to the cat, "I do not expect you to engage an undue risk in a firefight, but your senses are far better than ours. I would take it as a courtesy if you would accompany us to see and hear anything we might not realize is happening. Will you do this?"
Raoul regarded Shiptrees amused. He would enter the temple, or not enter it, precisely when and where and as he pleased, or else what would be the point in being a cat? But Little Mouse was going, and that meant that he would go as well, to guide and protect her. Obviously. But even if she hadn't been going, Shiptrees had consistently showed courtesy and respect above and beyond that of most humans. The very act of it was a statement of respect in itself. Raoul may well have helped him in any case, so he gave Shiptrees a slow nod.
"Thank you," Shiptrees said. "The rest of you, column up by twos. Keep it tight, people. Give the long guns as much room to shoot in as possible."
Then, without further ado, he drew his sword and began loping toward the temple, leaving four men armed with the odd-looking human weapons behind him. Raoul raced to catch up with Little Mouse, who was running in a strange, jerky motion, as though her body longed to break into a mad sprint toward the danger, or away from it. Her best speed would have left the weary aeronauts behind, though, so she kept the pace slow and careful. Then it was all the sound of boots striking the floor in rhythm, and the scent of sweating human, and the kindling glow of gauntlets being primed. Then the man in the gateway popped his head around the corner again. The long guns behind them howled, sending streaks of heat and light sizzling by within an arm's length of the column.
They slammed home into the stone of the gateway sheltering the enemy soldier. But these were no mere gauntlet blasts. Long rifles were an order of magnitude more powerful than a gauntlet, and instead of blowing chips of stone from the wall, they blew stones out of the wall and sent them flying in every direction. Three more blasts struck only half a second later, and rock flew out in a shower as a square yard of stone wall, and the enemy crouched behind it, vanished in a torrent of radiant energy and a rumbling scream of breaking stone. The long guns began to yowl repeatedly, blowing holes in the wall near the positions Raoul had described to Shiptrees. Ah, that was what covering fire meant, then. It meant that his humans would shoot at the other humans and make them cower while the true threat came racing toward the front gate, along with all of his humans and his half-soul. As they drew near the gate, Raoul took it upon himself to make things easier on the poor creatures he'd been rescuing all day, under the theory that an ounce of prevention would be worth a pound of cure. He darted ahead of Shiptrees, exploded through the gate, moving as low and fast as a cat could, and let out the defiant howl of his battle cry as he did. Human voices shouted in surprise, and a wild gauntlet blast blew apart a brick planter several yards behind him, while another splashed harmlessly onto the spire-stone floor wide of him. Grim Shiptrees and half-soul Benedict came through the gate at almost the same instant, running, gauntlets primed. Both men unleashed blasts at their opponents without slowing down, and Shiptrees dropped one of the enemy with a shot to the sternum that knocked the man down and cracked his ribcage with an audible snapping of bones. Little Mouse and Human Kettle came in on their heels, also firing. Little Mouse's bolt came nowhere near threatening another being with harm, but before more blasts could be loosed, the enemy warriors were lifting their hands over their heads and dropping to their knees. That would have made it significantly easier to dispatch them all, but for some reason, Shiptrees and the other humans stopped fighting. Raoul puzzled over that for a moment as the rest of Shiptrees' warriors came rushing through the gates. Human Kettle took charge, took away the enemy warriors' gauntlets and blades and bound their arms, which seemed to Raoul like an excess of preparation for cutting their throats. Over the next several breaths, it occurred to Raoul that the humans were not going to cut anyone's throat. What was the point in all the fighting with gauntlets if they were only going to stop fighting the moment the outnumbered fools decided the fight was over? Raoul flicked his tail in exasperation. Humans. This close to the fire, the heat was palpable, and the heavy smell of smoke was almost nauseating. The fire was a constant growling rumble from the interior of the temple. Now that he had time to look about, Raoul spotted several very still forms in crimson-stained saffron robes lying here and there in the gardens, like particularly morbid beds of flowers. "Maker of paths," Human Benedict breathed, sweeping his gaze over the corpses. His eyes shone with unfallen tears. "O great Maker, show me the path, for I am lost and cannot find my way." Raoul prowled over to Little Mouse and leapt up into her arms, the better to be able to see through the crowd of humans.
"Skip," Human Kettle said, nodding to Shiptrees. "Four prisoners, none seriously wounded. They say the rest of the Aurorans are already gone. They volunteered to stay behind and won't say anything about their mission or where their officers are going."
Shiptrees grunted and shook his head, staring at the burning temple.
"Burning a library. Damned waste."
He turned to one of his warriors and said, "Go inform Mr. Creedy of what happened and ask him to direct the firefighting brigade here at once."
"I skip," said the man, and hurried off. "These guys could save us a world of hurt if they start talking." "You want me to persuade them, Skip?"
Human Kettle asked. He slammed one knob-knuckled fist into his opposite palm.
No time, Shiptrees said. The Aurorans are already on the move. Why burn a library? A diversion, Human Kettle suggested, to draw us away from their real target. It's going to get plenty of attention, Shiptrees admitted. But, he narrowed his eyes, what if this wasn't a diversion? They only sent 30 men for the bloody Lancaster Vattery. They brought their whole force here. Why?
This entire infiltration and attack, Human Benedict asked, his voice tight and bitter with pain, just to burn books.
Books are knowledge, and knowledge is power, Shiptrees said.
More power than a crystal Vattery? Human Kettle asked dubiously.
Someone seems to think so, Shiptrees said, his voice thoughtful.
Raoul heard a faint sound and snapped his head around to the proper direction in which to direct his attention. A moment later he heard the sound again, a voice, weak, choking on smoke. Raoul turned to Little Mouse and said,
If it matters, someone is still alive in there. I can hear them.
Little Mouse blinked at him for a moment in that charmingly witless way she had, and then blurted out a translation of his words to Human Benedict.
Human Benedict's eyes snapped to Raoul.
Where?
Raoul leaned his head toward the temple and said, Am I an oracle? No, I am not. Inside.
Human Benedict stepped up next to Raoul and tilted his head to one side with his eyes closed. They snapped open again a moment later.
He's right. We have to do something.
The smoke could easily kill you, Shiptrees said. Never mind the fire.
Human Benedict clenched his jaw, and then he turned and sprinted into the burning temple.
Benedict! Little Mouse cried.
She dropped Raoul like a sack of stale tubers and went running after him. As she did, a full quarter of the roof at the rear of the temple gave way with a rumble of falling stone and a thundercloud of rising sparks dancing madly in the whirlwind. Raoul's heart went absolutely berserk, beating so hard that it threatened to stop up his throat. The building was on fire. What was Little Mouse thinking? Such things were deadly. Had she no consideration at all? Who was going to give Raoul his favourite ear rubs if Little Mouse were burned to char and ash? The very thought made him want to crouch against the ground and curl into a little ball. It was a truly shocking discourtesy. He should let her be burned up if she was going to treat him in so cavalier a fashion. Except that the very thought of Little Mouse being all burned up made Raoul's fur begin to tangle with itself. Without any further hesitation, the cat growled and rushed forward into the burning building.